Praise the Lord, family. Welcome back to another Gift of Life show. You know what? I'm just thinking, I have like 30 minutes with you on these episodes, and I only use maybe 25 because I want to have a song that just kind of validates what I've said. But the time goes by so fast. So I know I listen to myself. I know I talk fast. I'm going to try to slow down. But man, time goes so quickly. So I want to get so much in. But if you're missing any of these episodes, you can go to the website, www.lovebyexample.com, and click on classes. And if you click on classes, that'll open up into where it says radio. And just click on radio, and you can see all the shows that I've done. Now, I'm just beginning a new series, and I've titled it Satan's Six Lies and Five Wills, and Five I Wills. And I've did an introduction, and then I did part one. And now I thought I was going to break down each of the six lies in two parts, but I really believe I need to do it in threes. So this will be Satan's first lie, and it's coming from Tony Evans' book, God Cannot Be Trusted, and Five of the Lies. And Satan's first lie that I talked about last time, and I'm still on it, was that he does not exist. And I'm reading from Tony's book by mixing a lot of my personal insights and perspectives that the Lord has revealed to me that fits right into this book. But first of all, I want to open up with Psalms 91, because that's my foundation, and it should be yours. Hallelujah. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snares of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings I shall take refuge. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrows that fly by day, nor of the pestilence that walk in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I look and see the reward of the wicked. Because I have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, my dwelling place, no evil shall befall me, nor shall any plague come near my dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over me, to keep me in all my ways, and in their hands they shall bear me up, lest I dash my foot against the stone." Now, verse 13, "I shall tread upon the lions and the cobras, the young lions and the serpent I shall trample underfoot." Now, you know what? You need to cross-reference this with Matthew 4, 6. Satan, tempting Jesus, quoted this verse, but he omitted verse 13. He talked about 12, but then when he got to 13, he didn't say that. So we're talking about Satan's lies. So not only does he twist God's word, but he'll omit it any old kind of way he can, get it, add it, whatever he can do to tamper with God's word. But Jesus, He knew the word. He said, "It is written." But I thought that was interesting how he didn't quote, "You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot." He didn't mention that. I wonder why. Anyway, 14, "Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name, and he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Isn't that beautiful? I just love that. So that's Psalms 91, and I'm using that as the foundation of these episodes that I'm coming up with, because we seriously are stomping on the devil's head, and we are calling Satan out, declaring him a liar, because that's what he is. And John 8:44, you should never forget John 8:44. Let's go to it. I've mentioned that, read that several times, but it deserves and it is worth repeating. In John 8:44, this is what Jesus said to people, to the leaders, to the religious leaders who were basically crucifying Jesus before he even got on the cross and telling him he's a liar, he doesn't know anything. But that was Satan using these bodies, these people, these minds, like he does even today. But it says here in John 8:44, this is what Jesus said, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks, this is what I'm really focusing on. I've mentioned that several times. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So what I'm really, I know we, many of you may know that verse, but what I really want us to focus and hone in on is how God, the creator of the universe, spoke. If you go to Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you're going to see in here, I got it circled in my Bible, in times where it says, then God said, then God saw, then God said, then God said. It's just all through Genesis 1 and 2. Then God said, and God saw, then God said. And it just goes on and on and on. And then it gets to chapter 2 and it says, then God blessed. But the point is, God, the creator of the universe, the living God, he is a being, a spiritual being, and he thinks and he speaks and he creates and he's the creator of heaven and earth and the master of all times. So we're not talking about some mythical Greek god, some myth that somebody imagined in their mind, or they just are superstitious and think a rock fell out of heaven or out of the sky, so that's got to be a rock. You know, if you did any Greek mythology studies, it is just crazy what people will believe. But I'm talking about the living God, the God of heaven and God of earth, the God, the Lord of lords and kings of kings over everything. Well, he created Lucifer. We're going to read about that. He created Lucifer, but then Lucifer, pride was found in him. He got kicked out of heaven. We'll read about that. And then in chapter 3 of Genesis, now the serpent was more cunning than all the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said? So here you have this spiritual entity taking a physical form of a serpent, speaking to our first parents. And you, if you know anything about the Bible, the rest is history. That's how sin came into the world. Okay? Now, speaking about Satan, and he's a liar, I want to go to Isaiah 14. This is where I get the five I wills. Tony Evans has the six lies, and I want to talk about the five I wills too. But just let me read this. And Isaiah 14, 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you have cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, okay, in your mind, I will ascend. There's the first one. I will ascend into heaven. Number two, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Number three, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. Number four, I will ascend above the height of the cloud. Number five, I will be like the Most High. My goodness. So that's just shows you those five I wills. Now, the thing we got to understand is that, and I read this from my book on page 66, right now today, the arguments and the fights and the wars and the different fears and anxieties that hurt people, we got to understand it is not the people that are the enemies. People are being used by Satan's lies who speaks. See, Satan was created. He's a created being. He was a created angelic angel. But pride was found in him. Iniquity was found in him. So he got kicked out of heaven. So he thinks. And when he thinks, he speaks just like we do. And that's why I want us to get a hold of these toxic thoughts that many people are not aware that are toxic because they don't know the truth or the roots of them. And so they're being deceived. And thinking that they're okay, thinking that they're saying okay, thinking that they're acting all right, and they're not. And they're pushing people away. And in my book, Do You See What I See? I read that yesterday on page 66. I talked about one of my favorite verses that in Ephesians 6 about the armor of God, where Paul says, finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. And that just means put on Christ. Put your trust in Christ. Receive him as your Savior and Lord. Be born again. Whatever terms you want to use. Walk in your new position. The old man is dead and you're a new person now. So be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So why? So you can stand against the wiles of the devil. The trickeries, the methods, the words, the thoughts of the devil. And we talked about what the word term devil meant and Satan. Remember, we talked about in the last episode, and I went to Revelations chapter 12, and we talked about that the devil was a Greek word, comes from the word, or the devil means, it's a verb, and it means slander and false accuser. And then the word Satan, it means adversary and enemy. So they're one and the same, okay? The slanders, accusers, enemies, and adversaries. But we're to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we do not, look at this, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That means human beings. We're not fighting one another. We're fighting the mentality and the mindset and the paradigm and the lies of the devil. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts, wickedness in heavenly places. That's Ephesians 6, 10, and 12. So it's all about the thoughts. It goes right back to whose mindset, whose thought are you going to adopt? Because you have the power to choose life or death, okay? And so let me just get into Tony Evans' book here now, and we're going to just continue. This is under the first lie that he doesn't want us to exist, or excuse me, he doesn't want us to think that he exists. And again, go back and listen to the first one if you missed it and get caught up. Tony Evans says here, and as we have read, the serpent tempting Eve really was taking on the form of a snake. And later on in scriptures, we see the certainty who the serpent really was. The passage is spelled out for us in the book of Revelations, and I read this yesterday. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. That's Revelations 12:9. Later in Revelations, we read, and he seized the dragon, the ancient serpent who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. But how did the devil get here in the first place? The Bible gives us the story. Now, I read you two accounts in Genesis and also in Isaiah. Even though it was talking about the king of Tyre, but Satan was using this king like he does. He has to have a body to work through because he's a spiritual being. But he was using this king and speaking these horrible things against God and his people. But Tony says here, how did the devil get started? Well, before God created humans, he created angels. The chief among them was the name Lucifer. The name Lucifer literally means the shining one. And he was certainly that. Ezekiel 28:13-14 describes him as a magnificent created being who was called an anointed cherub. This means that God has a special blessing and a purpose for creating Lucifer. See? Oh my gosh. This means originally Lucifer, reason for being, was to lead all the other angels in worship of God. And for a while, everything went according to God's plan. But one day, Lucifer looked at himself in the mirror, saw his spectacular beauty, and he began to get filled up with pride. His pride was so great that he wanted what God said no created being could have, and that was equality with him. Remember I read back there in Isaiah where he said, I want to be like the Most High God. And the Most High God, that's a root word, means over all the angelic forces, over everything. That's what Lucifer wanted to be. Well, Lucifer's pride and ignorance led him into rebellion against God. And I just read the scene in Isaiah 14 where Lucifer five times said, I will. The devil was so proud and so willful, he wanted the power and the position above everybody else and even God himself. Lucifer attempted a war, basically, in heaven to rule over God, but as we know, that didn't happen, and he led 1/3 of a million of the angels in rebellion. And of course, the simple logic tells us that it's impossible to rebel against such a successful creator God. So what happens? He gets stoned down on earth, okay, as his form of punishment. And when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, creation itself was perfect, but already wandering around the earth was Satan, who was eager to do all he could to continue his rebellion against the Creator. So see, Lucifer, or Satan, he wasn't always Satan. Did you know that? He was a shining one. He was an angel. He was the lead, everybody, everything, in worship in heaven. But pride was found in him. And so he comes to earth, and he comes for one reason, to steal, or excuse me, many reasons, but three major reasons, to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, and God says, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. And the way you receive that life is trusting in God. Trusting what God's word says above anybody else. So you need to know the word of God. I know I read somewhere someone said that Oprah Winfrey said, hey, there can't be many ways to God. Surely there's not just one way to heaven or to God, the way you perceive God. That would be too narrow. No. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. I choose to believe him more than I believe Oprah. Okay? And also, too, you have that inner witness when you know that you are on the right path and you found your purpose for living and you know the Holy Spirit is giving you that witness inside your spirit in Romans 8 that you're on the right path. Nothing can deviate you from that. No trials, no tribulations. Paul talked about that. No trials and tribulations, distresses, persecution, famine, pearl, nakedness of swords. He said, I am persuaded. And he says, what can separate me from that? No death, no height, nor angels, principalities, powers. And he says, nor things coming, nor things present, nor things to come. He says, nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 8, 35 and 38 and 39. So when you're persuaded and you know who you are in Christ and you got a call on your life and you know 1 Peter 2, 9 says that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a strange people, but you've been called to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and him crucified, that you've been called out of darkness into that dark ignorance of humanity, of thinking you got it going on like Satan, called out of that darkness into his marvelous light. And Jesus is the light. Isn't that beautiful? But here's how it all began. We're reading about how, if you don't believe that he exists, if you think he's just a myth or just something somebody made up, or like, even if he does exist, he's not dealing with me because you're putting all your trust in your things that you have and your world's not really shaken and you don't feel like you need to go out and witness or anything. You're just going through the motions. And there's really no transforming conviction going on in your heart. Because see, the Word of God says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, that the Word of God is God-inspired, God speaking, and it is profitable. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, doing what's right in Christ, so that you will be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. But see, in order for that to happen, you got to be born again. You got to get in the right position, and you got to be humble before the Lord. Because the Lord does not like pride. He resists the pride. He resists those that think that they know it all, and they got it going on, and they don't need anybody telling them what to do. That comes from your father, the liar, who was a liar in the beginning. So basically, he comes to earth. He messes with Adam and Eve in the garden. We saw what happened. I talked about that in Genesis 3:10. They heard his voice. They heard God's voice. But because they sinned and believed Satan, they hid in fear. So you have fear, the first emotion, the first thought that overtakes them. That lie produced fear and hiding. And then Cain and Abel, Abel's offering was accepted because Abel did what God said to do, to bring him a blood offering, because he was talking about the anointed one that was going to come through. Oh, I just love this. But Cain said, no, I don't need to do all that. I'll just bring you my, whatever I'm going to bring you, the way I want to do it, my human achievement. I don't want to deal with your divine accomplishment. I'm going to do it my way. And God asked him and said, hey, look here. Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? And I thought that was interesting because my coach, Dr. Lee, she says, by the time you decide, see, we've got a mind that thinks, we have emotions that feel. Emotions are byproducts of how you think. And then you have to make a choice, okay? She says, by the time you decide that it's better not to get angry or to be sad or depressed, your face has been expressing it for about 500 milliseconds. But it's too late. The emotional signal has been sent. It's like pressing the send on your text before you double check the contents of who you're sending it to. And so, you see, it's very important that we take captive these thoughts. We got to be aware of how we're thinking, because Satan speaks and he comes to depress you. He comes to make you worried and angry and to distrust God and trust yourself or anything else but God, or to trust God a little bit here, and then you'll trust him a little bit there. You know, you'll go a little bit far here, and then you'll go back, and just in and out, in and out. That's double-mindedness. That's cognitive dissonance. But right here, I just love this. In Proverbs 12, listen to what it says in 25. Anxiety in the heart or in the mind of a man causes depression, but a good word, hallelujah, a God word, truth, makes it glad. Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Isn't that beautiful? And so Paul also said in Philippians 4:6-7, he says, be anxious for nothing, but by everything, in prayer and supplication. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Look at that. Because anxiety, anger, and fear are oppressing words. You know that. But I want you to know that those words come from thoughts, and they come from Satan. And I want you to know where the source is, so you won't be picking on people, blaming people, even blaming yourself. God doesn't blame you if you're a born-again believer. He will convict you, correct you, but he doesn't condemn you. There's a big, big difference. There's a big difference for those who are born again. He says, Paul says in Philippians, finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. He wants us to meditate on these things. And in my book, do you see what I see? I have in my book, I call them the three M's, where we meditate, we mouth it, and then meditate, and then we mouth the word of God. Yeah, yeah. And so you gotta get this. You know what the problem is with most believers? They don't renew their mind. They get born again. They might know the new position. They know that the old man's dead and the new man's alive. And they believe in the death and burial and resurrection of Christ. And he's in them and they're in him. But they don't renew their minds. They might read and forget. And Peter wrote two books about what happens when you forget. So you can't just read it. You got to memorize it and meditate on it until you believe it and you are speaking it. And that will be Philemon 6, that the sharing of your faith might become effective by acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. When God created humanity, he made his own crown of his jewels. In creation, he made humans in his own image. Look at that. So God talks, we talk. God thinks, we think. Look at that. But Satan, he thought, and he spoke, but pride was found in him, and God wasn't having them. Genesis 1:27. He wanted us to be lower than him, but also very much like him, in that we have free will. I love that. See, we are taking back our will. Remember, I said we're mind, we think, and we have feelings, and then we have decisions. Satan wants to take your will. He doesn't want you to know you have the power to choose life or death, blessings or cursing. And God says, choose life so you can live. Deuteronomy 30:19. Don't blame anybody. Don't blame yourself. Get out of that dungeon of depression and despair and rise up and take back your will. What nerve does Satan have? He's a liar. And he will do anything he can to get you to believe his lies. But you've got to realize and understand who you are in Christ and stand up and take back that gift of free will that God has given you, the capacity to respond to him in love and obedience. God didn't want millions of little robots who had no choice but to obey him. He wanted beings who would choose to respond to his love. Isn't that beautiful? Choose to respond to his love. God never forces anyone to be obedient to him. That's what I love about God. I've always said that. I love God so much anyway, but I love the fact that I can choose. I have the gift and the power to choose life or death. I can choose what I watch. I can choose what I eat. I can choose the friends. I don't have to just follow everybody else because everybody else is going that way. No, the way to God is very, very narrow. It's very, very narrow. Oh, but gosh, it is the right way and it leads to heaven. Hallelujah. So God didn't want us to, he didn't want to create robots. He wanted us to have the power to choose. And you know what? That's the same choice we face today as Adam and Eve did. We need to know that Satan is still prowling around looking for ways to throw us off balance and to distract us from doing what God has called us to be and do. And you know, I just want you to know, brothers and sisters, God loves you. He did. He created us in his image, and he wants you to know your purpose in life. And on my book, in page 17, I have these three questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what am I supposed to do? See, when you find out who you are and what you're supposed to do and why you belong here, and you start walking in it, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Hallelujah. Hey, just know this. Satan is a liar. And he doesn't want you to believe that he exists, but he does. Now, go back and listen to these two that I've talked on so far, and I'm going to conclude tomorrow or the next time with number three on the same line. He doesn't want you to think he exists. But I'll tell you right now, I declare war that Satan is a liar and God is the truth. Let every man be a liar, but God stands for truth. Hallelujah.
To my actions of the past, with the crowds I used to run with, saying the things I used to say. But I wish you'd stand back and take a look at me today. Satan, you're a liar. You're a liar. You should know by now. I know you are a liar. Someone that it would not last a week, but I've walked with the master through the blood and through the fire, and if I've learned anything at all, I've learned that you're a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar. You should know. Devil, I want to tell you, I know you're everything in this world except my friend, and still you have the courage, the nerve to come around and bother me again. You tell me I'm not born again, heaven's not reality. If Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, Satan, this sound good to me. You're a liar. You're a liar. You should know by now. I know you are a liar. There's one thing you can't deny. You're the palmer of every lie. You are a liar, Satan. You are a liar, Satan. You should know by now. I know you. Tell me God wasn't gonna heal my body. You're a liar. Satan,